About 250 years ago, Adam Smith, a Scottish philosopher who lived with his mother, wrote about the importance of trade. Smith published The Wealth of Nations, which is considered the beginning of modern economics. Trade during Smith's time involved the exchange of goods and services for money, as opposed to bartering, which had been common in earlier times. People during Smith's time saw money as wealth and concluded that the seller benefited more from trading. There were restrictions on trade to prevent money from leaving countries and even localities. Smith argued against those restrictions. He recognized that both sides benefit from trade, not just the seller. When two parties trade, each gives up something that it values less in exchange for something that it values more. That is why the trade happens. There is a mutual benefit. Smith recognized that trade enables specialization. He used pin making to demonstrate the power of specialization. Smith reasoned that it is unlikely that a single person could make a single pin in a day, even if the necessary metal, which had to be created by a special process, was available. During Smith's time, 10 people in a pin factory could produce 48,000 pins in a day. Each person focused on a single task. One drew out the wire, one straightened the wire, one cut the wire, one created the point, the other created the head, and so on. The Wealth of Nations explains how trade, specialization, and investment combine to create a productive cycle. The pin maker can sell his pins, pay his bills, buy what he needs, and still have something left over. This surplus can be invested back into the pin making business, perhaps paying for more sophisticated tools and equipment to make pins even more efficiently, which in turn creates even larger surpluses. This is not a bad description of how an economy grows, a topic that we will give some attention to in this book. Smith wrote about the importance of property rights, which promote free trade and specialization. Property rights mean that a person or organization has ownership and exclusive use of a resource. An owner has the right to earn income from the resource and to sell the resource. Property rights prohibit stealing and government expropriation. Government can play an important role in promoting free trade by enforcing property rights. Property rights create the incentive to accumulate wealth and invest, which in turn creates more goods, services, and mutually beneficial trading. What's the point of saving and investing if everything can be taken from you? Free trade and property rights are the main components of capitalism. The word capitalism was originally a pejorative invented by 19th century socialists. Capitalism is not a philosophy. The term capitalism describes a society in which people trade freely and respect property rights. Put differently, in a capitalist economy, we keep trading with one another as we have been for thousands of years, and the government enforces property rights, which encourages even more trade. This brings us to the topic of this book. Shareholder capitalism is based on the idea that mutually beneficial trading, coupled with property rights, applies to business owners. A business is a person or group of persons who specialize in creating and trading a good or service. In modern times, business owners can use various legal structures to operate their businesses, including sole proprietorships, partnerships, limited liability companies, and corporations. If a corporation is formed, the business owners are issued shares that enable them to control the corporation. The business owners are then referred to as shareholders. Some corporations are small businesses that have a single shareholder. In contrast, a publicly traded corporation that has its shares traded on a stock exchange can have millions of shareholders located all over the world. The division of ownership into millions of shares makes it easier for firms to raise capital. It also creates a wide separation between ownership and control. The shareholders own the business, but they cannot collectively control its operations. Shareholder capitalism speaks to the responsibilities of the persons who manage a corporation on behalf of the shareholders. The one thing that all shareholders have in common is that they prefer more wealth to less. Thus, the corporate manager's job is to create wealth for the corporation's shareholders. Just as a customer would not buy a product from a business unless she stood to benefit from the purchase, so too a corporate manager should not enter into transactions with customers or any other party unless the shareholders benefit. Corporate managers should not use the firm's assets for purposes that do not benefit the shareholders. That is the essence of shareholder capitalism. Here's another way to see it. Customers, suppliers, and employees all freely choose whether to trade with a corporation or not. Customers decide whether they want to buy its products. Employees decide whether they want to sell the corporation their labor. Suppliers decide whether they want to sell it their goods and services.